Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept, but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 26, and we'll be talking about episode 26 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Char Returns, in which the title character doesn't actually do much this episode. Moe agare, and take it away. Clamp,
Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yes, Clamp of Cardcaptor Sakura. They originally were a doujin group, and the doujin that myself, Michaela, my friend Molly, know them for best is one where it's actually like a collection of stories, but this one in particular is about JoJo characters, where...
Okay.
From part three, Jotaro, the protagonist, and his friend slash the guy most often he is shipped with, the red-haired noodle boy himself, Kakyoin. Kakyoin wakes up one day having laid an egg. An egg came out of him, and then a child is born from the egg, and the child looks almost exactly like Jotaro, the protagonist of this part. And the child quickly grows to become a full twinkish man, named Jota. And he also has a stand that looks like a chibi, badly ripped off version of Jotaro's stand, except it's green. So Jotaro decides to name the stand with the first thing applicable that he saw, which happened to be some window cleaner named Charmy Green. So Jota and his stando Charmy Green go out into the world after being born from an egg that Kakyoin somehow produced, and we never comment on how. That is what I know Clamp from. And now they make one of the most successful magical girl shows in a long time. Cardcaptor Sakura.
Nice. Dope.
Let it never be said that, I don't know what not to say. Hello, everyone! And welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom. However much of that Chris leaves in is up to his artistic, conceptions. Welcome to episode 26 of Mobile Suit Fandom.
26.
I'm Fuzzy.
I am Chris. Chris Toaf. I'm Chris.
That was a lot of trouble for your name. The name you were born with. It's not even a pseudonym, Chris.
You're a pseudonym, Fuzzy.
Yes! Yes, Fuzzy is a pseudonym!
No, last episode you told me it wasn't! Fuzzy! You're a liar!
Believe me, I'm a liar. Fantastic song. So, this is episode 26 of Mobile Suit Fandom, where we're talking about episode 26 of Mobile Suit Gundam, and I just had the realization that I'm gonna have to start writing the parenthetical of what the current episode overall is. Because right now we're 1-1, but then once we start Zeta... I'm gonna be
We're not.
Oh yeah, shit, we're not.
Well, it depends. It depends if you count the Japanese release or the. Are we counting the American release?
The Japanese we're already. Which card is Japanese? Because fucking.
Okay, so then yeah, we are 1-1 right now.
Yeah, we're yeah. Fine. But like when we get to Zeta, I can't be like, "Hey, it's fucking episode 1." When we're talking about episode 1 again, it's like, no, this is episode. Fucking 43, I think, was what it'll be at that stage. Episode 43, where we talk about episode 1 of Mobile Suit Zeta. And that'll be confusing for me, because I'm an idiot. So, we're talking about episode 26, and this episode is called... I'm pointing at you, Chris.
The boy come back.
The boy is back in town. This episode is called "The Boy Is Back in Town." Char returns. So Char returns. That's the episode. Thank you for coming. We'll see you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. No. Char returns. It's God. I don't really know what to say. This episode's kind of neat, but it's mostly a battle heavy episode. So I don't know how much, because all of the really dank shit that happens kind of gets glossed over really fast. Like you could have an entire movie about the shit that isn't war in this episode of war.
Yeah.
Also, please support the official release. That is how I will summarize my first. I own it on DVD. I'm just not gonna break out a DVD player for this. So, yeah.
So here's the situation for Christopher. I watched this 100% legally, but if I didn't, it's a very annoying way to go about it. And I would if I were watching it illegally, I would want to watch it legally, just based on the frustration, not including the fact that we've watched 26 episodes now and I'm really enjoying it and want to support the creators.
Yes.
But theoretically, if I had not already owned Mobile Suit Gundam in its entirety, I can't fucking find it anywhere. Theoretically.
Yeah.
I can't find it to stream anywhere.
Yeah.
The fucking DVD sets are a goddamn arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to sell my child to get this shit. And yeah. He's pretty cool. I like him. I want to keep him around.
Yes.
What the fuck? It's from the fucking 70s. Just release that shit digitally.
I don't understand why, like, it's not one of the ones that's free all the time on their YouTube channel. Because, for the love of God, they have their most recent show on YouTube for free, updated every week, live and in color, and subtitled correctly. Every week.
Right.
Gundam Build Divers, and this is also a, hey, do you want to watch Gundam that's airing right now? Gundam Build Divers is available on Gundam Info right now. You can watch it for free. Why is the original not available? You know, a thought just occurred to me, actually.
Hmm.
It might be licensing issues. Because,
ow.
Originally, and I might be kind of talking out my ass here, but the original Mobile Suit Gundam came out a long time ago, and originally I think it was being produced by then Bandai. The company was just known as Bandai at the time, if I remember correctly. Later on, Tomino and crew formed and or became part of, I'm not sure which, the company known as Sunrise. Sunrise, to this day, makes all Gundam content. So I have to wonder if Tomino didn't get to keep the kids in the divorce or something.
Aww, but that's sad.
Yeah, but like with Gundam. I have to wonder if it's caught up in a licensing thing. That might be it now that I think about it. My point is,
well, meanwhile, we
suffer.
You and I specifically suffer.
Meanwhile, you and I.
I mean, no, we don't. We don't, because we watch this legally.
I will go to bat to say, if you already own a thing and then you go and stream it elsewhere, fuck it. All power to you. You've supported the official release. This is a long-winded way of saying I hate anime titty games that I get advertisements for.
They're the worst.
That's the long-winded way of saying this. I got an ad for Fap Warrior. I'm not making that up if I wish I did. That is legitimately...
How dare you? Yeah, it's not good. Listen, Fap Warrior is the hero of the world, and we don't need to make bootleg fucking game... Bootleg? We don't need to make bootleg games
Bootleg games.
Yeah, this is bullshit. He's a respectable individual, and we need to keep him off of these fucking porn sites.
Yes. I shit you not, one of my favorite things is my alarm system has buttons that don't actually work, but they're supposed to call the fire, the ambulance, and the police, respectively. So at the bottom of all of my little alarm things in my house, it says what?
Fire, police, ambulance?
FAP. It says FAP.
Bottom of all of them say FAP. Idiot.
FAP.
Yeah, mine has mine is much less helpful. Mine has a little police shield and a little firefighter symbol, like a hat, and then a little caduceus staff.
Yeah, no.
Which is real helpful for children, I'm sure.
Yes, no, we have FAP. Those buttons don't even work, fun fact.
No, mine don't. Mine don't either.
Why do all alarm systems have that if literally none of them work?
I'm assuming some of them do.
I've never encountered it. At all. Ever. So what the fuck are they for? Anyway, if you want to break into my house, war.
I was going to say, probably not. You live in Texas. There's probably...
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea for...
There's a castle law, castle doctrine.
Well, yes, there is. Fun fact, in Texas, if someone is on your property and you give them a warning, you are legally allowed to just kill them.
If you say you gave them a warning.
I know what I said. my point is, don't look under my floorboards.
Don't go into anybody's house ever, please.
Knock a lot.
No, just don't go. Just stay home. Be introverts like Chris.
There you go. I shit you not. Like, my family's not big on guns, but we are. My dad went real into knives at one point. And the long and the short of it is, I have three knives next to my bed, except, well, more than that, actually. I have a set of throwing knives, another different set of throwing knives, a combat knife, a hunting knife, and a comically sized machete.
Fuzzy's a weeb, is what he's saying.
No, I never purchased any of those. I purchased one $20 shitty sword from a Ren Faire out of a blind box, where they were like, hey, we got a sword, it's $20, it's in this box, you can't open the box beforehand. I'm like, okay, it's $20, give me my shitty sword. And I got it, and there's a terrible katana that, honestly, I think if I hit a bone with it, the katana would shatter into a... it'd be...
If you're lucky to get... through the sinew and skin and crystal to the bone.
Oh, it would. That thing would not sharpen if I was a genie. Like, magic could not make that a functional sword, but if it hit anything hard, it would be a very functional claymore mine.
You know what is a functional sword, though, Fuzzy?
Degwin Zabi's Monster Dong?
I was gonna say the laser sword to get back into this, but while we're on the subject of that particular monster dong, that would have been a very good like synergy pop up for titty anime and
that would
like penis growth pills.
For the record, I also attempted to in my summary this week to badly emulate a tweet I saw. Where the last line of my first paragraph here is, and I quote, "Big dick, get a big fat dick, and fuck these hot anime babes." And so that's what reminded me of Degwin Zabi's Monster Dong. Anyway, war.
Bum, bum. I don't know why I made it sad. We're winning. We won the war.
Yeah, we did. Odessa Day was a success. Zeons are...
Congratulations, us.
Yes, we did it. We, Chris and Fuzzy, defeated Zeon in Europe. It was us. Yeah. No one else had anything to do with it.
Exactly.
So the Zeons are mostly... mostly pushed out of Europe. But now, and then this is the title card popping up, Char returns.
Also, we immediately find out the Zeons have not been pushed out of Europe.
Yeah.
They've been pushed out of you're on off of European land.
Yes, but they are
still very much in Europe.
Yes, they are still within that continental divide. We begin actually with a scene we haven't seen in a hot minute since.
Are you throwing shade? Because I feel like we see that all the fucking time.
No, we haven't okay. seen a gun parry transformation in a couple episodes, actually.
Okay.
I can tell you when the last time we saw one was.
Yeah?
The episode Ryu died.
God damn it. Why did you... God fucking fuzzy? You didn't have to do that.
That's the exact episode...
Go fuck yourself.
That's the last episode it appeared.
Go fuck yourself.
You're right, but that's just the last one. No. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It's been 5 episodes. Exactly.
So, we're doing this transformation. And it's the same animation we always see.
Yes, the save for one scene. You know, cross-eyed Ryu. May he rest in pieces.
God damn it! I was about to stop doing the bit, and then you did that. I'm back to being crybaby Chris now, as if that's that fucking far off from where my normal tone.
Exactly. So it's
hey, I can make fun of Fuzzy. We're friends. You can't make fun of me. That's not how friendship works, is it? Is that?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly how friendship works, Chris.
God damn it! Okay, so back in the episode.
Amuro manages to... This is not just reused animation. There's actually new dialogue. Amuro manages to do it, and we cut to Bright, and he immediately stands up from his captain's chair and starts chastising Amuro to be faster.
In English, he literally says, like, "What do you think you're doing, Amuro?" And I'm like, "Oh, shit, is Amuro not supposed to be practicing this?" And he's like, "You still can't break the 17-second mark." And I'm like... Okay, that first line and the second line were at different levels.
Yeah.
Dude, you need to even this shit out.
He did the same thing in Japanese, which just confuses me. It's just weird. So, excuse me again. So.
No.
God damn it. So, Bright gets weirdly intense about making Amuro fast at doing this mid-air change. I'm sure that won't come up again. It's probably gonna come up again.
Listen, Amuro, you need to be a 15-second boy. Go, go, go.
Which, honestly... the thought just occurred to me, does... It... Are the legs capable of flying without the torso for a while?
They appear to be.
Because they would have to be really high in the air to free fall for 17 seconds.
Yep.
And have space to spare.
Yeah.
So they have to be flying.
Hold on, Fuzzy.
Yeah?
Minofsky particles.
I forgot about particles.
The narrator is becoming much more helpful as the season goes along. He actually tells us where the fuck we're at now.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes, thank you, narrator-san. The narrator begins as the full complete Gundam now lands on White Base. The White Base is on its way to Northern Ireland. For some resupply. We cut immediately to Kai, who's just like, fuck yeah, R&R. And Amuro goes, well...
Probably getting press ganged.
We're probably getting press ganged into the military.
Which is funny that Amuro pointed that out, because, spoiler alert...
They get press ganged into the
fucking military. We'll get to that when we get there, but like when it happened, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's really harsh.
So, Amuro says this, and Kai is just like, man, you sure took the fun out of the situation. We immediately cut to a random red-headed woman washing her dishes.
Yeah, it's like they sensed that Chris needs... A spicy redhead, in this anime to make me feel safe.
Well,
and so they killed one and then gave me a new one.
Yes. So here is a new spicy redhead with something strange going on with her. Because this random woman who was washing her dishes in her log cabin in Ireland feels an earthquake and immediately runs outside and looks up and sees Whitebase passing by.
Then runs back inside.
Pulls out some binoculars that are clearly high-tech future binoculars and begins staring intently at Whitebase. She then...
She takes pictures.
She's taking pictures and then proceeds to run and open a fake desk to pull out a typewriter that she types a bunch of stuff on and then shoves it in a capsule and then puts the capsule on what appears to me to be a normal red balloon.
Yeah. So it's just, again, normal bottle. Or capsule. Normal red balloon, normal thread. Normal paper inside capsule.
She then releases it to the wills of the wind. Yeah. Where it proceeds to immediately beeline for the ocean.
Yeah.
Where
directly to,
yeah, where it immediately passes over some strange object that is spiky and ergo Xeon, floating, which leads down for us to see a new bit of mechanical detail, that is, Xeon has submarines and they look like manta rays, because of fucking course.
Because why the fuck not, right? This, like, all, the thing is, all of this is great, and then the mobile suits are just not great in this one.
We'll get to that in a minute. a Xeon sub, which looks like a manta ray, which, we learn in a hot second is called the Mad Angler.
Yeah.
Dank name.
Which is great. Yeah. Also, they try to, like, bury the lead on Char, as if we don't know Char's voice.
As if we not only don't know Char's voice, but don't know there is only one bitch in all of Xeon who wears that shade of bright red.
And also doesn't know that the episode is titled Char Returns.
Like, this is all... this lead-burying shit is based a lot in being black-bagged and shoved in to this episode, like, after the title card.
Yeah, and then you're like, if that's the case, you're like, oh, that's Char. Just immediately.
Yeah.
Or if you have if you can't guess that immediately, then you don't know who Char is, and then the reveal is like,
who's this asshole? Right?
It's the same as the reveal we got in the first episode where we're like,
who's this asshole? So yeah, he's like facing away from the camera, and like the camera doesn't even zoom in, and he has a deep voice that we all know what his fucking voice. What does he sound like in English? Actually, I don't remember.
His voice is not that deep. He's got just a pretty standard snarky voice.
See, his Japanese voice is like, it's pretty sonorous. Like it's not like baritone deep. I wouldn't even say it's as deep as mine.
Hello, I'm John.
No.
How are you?
I put it at like a solid Clooney type of zone.
I think they do a lot less suave in the English version. More like, he's not quite as petulant as like a Garma.
Yeah.
But he's definitely kind of like the smartest guy in the room.
Right. Yeah.
Like he's got some swagger.
Yeah.
Anyways, his second in command is named Mulligan, which I think is a little on the nose considering they're in Northern Ireland.
Yes. I thought the same thing. Char proceeds.
I think there's another one, too. They name someone else in the that has a super Irish name.
The other guy is Boone, was the other?
Maybe that. I don't know why.
There was
a third guy. Maybe I thought it was.
There was also okay. Marshy, and I forget.
I do remember Marshy and how much I loved that.
Yeah, and then the other pilot was, I can't remember. For some reason, Captain Ahab came to mind, but that's not it. That's not it at all. So yeah, Char, oh, by the way, so that fucking balloon passes by this weird floating thing, right? And then
it
we
cut.
No, it doesn't even. It just passes by. We then follow the line down to the submarine, and the submarine got information from the balloon?
What? Oh my
Via
God.
Radio.
I don't know why I thought they went and got the balloon.
No.
What's happened? She definitely okay.
She definitely typed something out on a typewriter.
Was it? Yeah, but was it paper?
I did not see paper, but I also don't recall what she put in that fucking capsule.
All right, maybe it was like a magnetic cylinder or something that could be read via radio waves.
Wove two wove.
God damn it! Shut up! Don't look. So sometimes grown men say "wadio."
I do the normal. I do the same thing.
Yeah, you do it on purpose.
No, I do it on accident too.
Okay, good.
I just lisp by accident sometimes. Damn.
Yeah.
I also have to concentrate really hard on saying "fire" correctly because otherwise I will
fire.
Yeah, that's fire. That's the one.
Welcome to East Texas. We're going to have a bonfire.
Bonfires in particular are just like, for me, for various reasons that I won't go through.
Bonfires are the fucking worst.
Oh, no, it's not because of a personal experience. It's because of an ex, but that's
a... Oh, but that's a personal experience.
Well, okay, she didn't take me to a bonfire. She was part of a bonfire group. It's a whole thing at Texas A&M, apparently. I'm not gonna pretend to understand, and frankly, thinking about it too hard gives me a headache. Because just trying to wrap my head around it, because there's a weird thing about A&M bonfires in that they're an unofficial thing because they used to be an official thing until, oh, I don't know, they got lackadaisical and someone literally died. This bonfire is made of trees, not logs, trees.
Nice.
And God, it's just, what the fuck? Continue.
I wonder if, and our listeners might be able to help us here, are bonfires,
bonfire.
Are they a particularly southern thing, or is it just like any rural area is just like, we got space, let's burn it!
Fucking big move.
My high school had official bonfires on their old practice field once a year. Like, giant fucking, like, three-story tall bonfires. They had to stop doing them because what happens when you get a bunch of high schoolers out in a field at night with minimal supervision?
They all fuck in the bushes.
Yeah, they all do drugs, get drunk, and fuck in the bushes. And it just... happened one too many times, got caught one too many times, I don't know, and they're just like, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
So people just had bonfires at their own house and fucked and did drugs in bushes.
That's honestly, and this is my personal ethics here, you know what? I think every once in a while, a community needs to have an opportunity for teenagers to get drunk, high, and fuck in the bushes, and everyone just kind of being content that's what happens. Because, for God's sake, they're teenagers.
As long as it's like, yeah, this is the whole thing. If we stop, like, obviously do not give drugs and alcohol to teenagers,
yes.
But they're gonna get it, right?
Yes.
And the worst thing a teenager can have is drugs, alcohol, and sex without, like, any sort of support structure behind them.
Okay.
If something goes wrong, I can't talk to anybody about this.
Now,
that's the worst. So you've got to...
Right.
What?
Now, hear me out.
What?
We... we have all of the rural communities have bonfires and get the nearest right. military base to just drop, airdrop just many condoms, like over the whole yeah. area. Just carpet bomb the area with prophylactics, allowing the teenagers off, though, to get it.
I'm for this plan. Before that, though, Fuzzy,
we need to teach kids how to put on a condom, and also yeah, that abstinence and is also not the only way. Now, right, hold on. We don't want to get ludicrous. We're in Texas, Chris.
We need to stop drilling it into 16-year-olds' heads for 16 years that using a condom is not effective.
Yeah.
Dicks. Anyways, oh, shit, cat, fuck, you scared the shit out of me. I'm getting angry about fucking sex ed.
Anyway.
Can't jump on me.
We'll get off that soapbox and get back on the Gundam soapbox.
The gun box.
The gun box.
It's a box of guns.
America.
Alright, everybody, take off your pants and pick up your gun box. We're gonna start this party off right.
Speaking of giant robots, guns in America, fucking sound off if you're also excited for Metal Wolf Chaos getting an HD remaster. Thank you. Thank you, FromSoft and Devolver. Praise. Thank you. Chris, do you know what the fuck I'm talking about?
I know Devolver and From Software.
Those
are game companies I'm aware
yes,
of.
Yes, so From Software...
I like a few of their games.
Yes, as you may be aware, they make the Armored Core series, which is their primary giant robot shtees.
Yeah.
Except on the original Xbox, they made a little title called Metal Wolf Chaos. And the game, right, which is entirely voice acted in English, despite being only released in Japan,
dope,
is about, and I'm making none of this up, Chris, Metal Wolf okay. Chaos is about the President of the United States
I'm following.
Suffering a coup by his vice president.
Okay.
Just after New Mexico and Arizona attempted to secede from the Union, the right. vice president launches a military coup against the president, who escapes okay. the White House in a secret tunnel to
right.
underneath the Washington, or excuse me, underneath the fountain,
okay.
in, I believe it's in front of Congress. Where underneath okay. the fountain, he is equipped mm-hmm. with the president's personal okay. war machine,
no.
the
no.
Metal Wolf,
no.
a mech
can't.
Equipped with every single gun, all of
he's
them.
He's a goddamn politician.
And these are just mech-sized versions of normal human guns that this fuzzy. Giant robot proceeds to ultra boost out of underneath Congress by jetting okay. out of the National Mall and blowing the no. fuck out of a bunch of dudes. And it is the hypest, stupidest thing to have fake George W. Bush jump no. in a mech and kill Dick Cheney, because that's the plot of Metal Wolf Chaos.
Oh boy.
It's amazing. Huh.
So it turns out Reveal is landing here at this Ireland dock. And the kids are running around like crazy. And Frau is chasing them.
We're just gonna gloss over George W. Bush in a mech. That's fair. So yeah, it turns out General Reveal is coming by here, because last episode we kind of got a tease in the handshake that Reveal shared with Amuro and the rest of White Base.
They did the pound it and locked it.
Yes,
and double slap backhand.
Yeah, they had a whole secret cheese. Reveal.
Paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
We're long overdue for someone sitting down and talking to White Base, and it is that time.
Yeah, like 26 fucking episodes.
Yeah. So Reville brings them all into what looks honestly like a classroom and sits at their head.
Yeah, it does.
And he kind of just lays it down. Whitebase,
thank you.
Whitebase has a mission. Great. Its mission: go to Jaburo.
Go get a job.
Uro. You're all very effective soldiers. Thank you for your service. It's time to go to Jaburo to Federation headquarters. Mm-hmm. Fraw proceeds to ask a question.
This is a very fair question.
What it's about people who don't want to join the military? What do they do? And Reville is honest, which honestly, fucking appreciate. He does not have time to give anyone a run around anymore. Yeah. He's busy being the Supreme Commander.
He says, yeah, if any of you don't want to be in the military, that's fine. We won't force you. However, we will put you in prison
for at least a year.
Yeah.
Explaining that all these people have seen the most secrets that the Feddies have right now, and they need to keep that safe. Which, honestly, I can't really fault him. Like,
if they were gonna turn fucking traitor, they would have done it already. I guess, like, they're, like, not, so you don't get captured. There's still better options than prison.
I also feel like he says prison, but, and this is me bringing the origin back into it, because fun fact, this scene takes place in Gundam the Origin.
Right.
Well, they're already in Jaburo at this point. So they're in Jaburo, and Jaburo has, like, it's big, like, it's an entire mesa that basically got cleared out in order to be a base. But there's, like, a city under there, and in there, when Reville gives the same speech, there's a few more additions that basically make it seem like house arrest plus. Like, you can still hang out around here. You're already here. It's just you can't leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, not too bad of a prison, but also still technically trapped.
Okay, but we don't have the origin, so in this one it's fucking prison.
Yeah, in this one, but I also feel like in general it would probably be like, we're not gonna fucking put you in a cell. It's just gonna be like, hey, here's a fucking ankle monitor and you're gonna be guarded.
He has an additional line, which is like, yeah, you're lucky it's only a year. We should leave you locked up for forever.
Yes. Which, also they explain in the origin a little bit more, because, and they did do this in the show too, recall, strictly speaking, they stole Whitebase.
Well,
technically speaking, Bright and the civilians commandeered the most secret project the Federation had in the form of Whitebase, the gun tank, the gun cannon, and the gun dom. All together, took them and kicked ass with them, but technically commandeered them without proper chain of command.
Yeah, that's still a dick move, because they kept Zeon from getting it.
Right.
Or from blowing up. I can't remember what the actual plan was to begin with.
That is,
either way,
remember the law. I know we're both chaotic, good and or neutral. Hence all the bodies. So, you know. Yeah, the law, Chris. The law says they should be in jail forever, if not court-martialed and killed.
Counterpoint, fuck the police.
The police also did come technically from straight the underground, because Jaburo's underground. Anyway,
so Zeon is going nuts.
Yeah, Reville also has some interesting comments on how Zeon, ever since this Gundam asshole came onto the field and has been whooping their ass up and down, Zeon's been trying to make the next big thing in order to combat that.
They've been trying to build a bigger Gundam.
Yes. they've been producing all kinds of suit concepts, and Revill has enough spies that we see a few of these flash on screen behind him, and this is just me picking things out. These appear to be prototype versions of an aquatic dom, which we've seen earlier, as well as prototypes of some lads that come later. Particularly, I noticed a prototype AC guy design. I say AC guy, some people say AC guy, I'm not sure which it is. And
I like AC guy because he's cooler. AC, air conditioning, fuzzy.
Perish.
Okay.
And the Zoc, which bad name.
This is a,
cool it's suit like, it's actually. Like,
Zoc is like, I want it to be a penis, I think. Zoc, like, I want it to be like a euphemism for a penis. Maybe because it's close to like jock and jock strap.
I forget. Did I give Sid this one? Because I know I had an action figure of this one.
Let me look at this. Hot. Maybe he does look like a weird misshapen penis, though, with arms.
Yes. The Zoc is.
More of a butt plug. Like a very uncomfortable butt plug.
Profoundly, and he only gets worse in, he has an alternate design which appeared in, God, what did it appear in? Oh, in the game Journey to Jaburo. I'm just gonna send you that picture, and please, either you tweet it out or I will, but look at that! Look at that monstrosity!
It's got a beak on it.
God, yeah. It's terrifying.
I'll say that first Zoc has a lot of things going for it. It's got spiky shoulders, which we know I'm a fan of. It's got big boots, which you know I'm a fan of. And it's got a nice big face and a head. It's a little round guy.
But
he's got a bunch. He's got a missile head, I think.
He launches a missile from the top of his head.
I feel like that's not
safe.
Great.
Yeah, it's not.
Because, like, all the fire is going to go down into it, and that's where the dude is.
That is theoretically where the dude be.
Anyway. We see a prototype for this thing, and they should have spent more time on it, honestly.
Yeah. they never quite got out of that development stage, did they? Just for your reference, Chris, this is what an AC guy looks like.
He's so good. I like him.
Yeah, I like him. That's actually the base model of what gets turned into the bear guys.
The bear guy. Yep. Yeah, I'm into this.
Yes.
I'm really. He has no hands. He just has little guns.
Well, he gets claws. They extend claws? Into claws.
Dope. Anyways,
his arms
he's
extend.
My tardigrade buddy.
They can be super long.
Him got stretchy arms?
He's got stretchy arms.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, actually. And also, one of the starring suits in season 2 of Gundam Thunderbolt, which I think is cool as shit, actually, to go from, like, a super souped-up other red Zaku, the psycho Zaku from season 1, to that motherfucker's an AC guy that got souped up, and I'm just like, alright, shit, cool. I'm into it.
Something, since you mentioned seasons... whilst I was looking up things about this episode, I believe, it might have been last episode, I think it's this episode, technically this is episode 1 of season 2 of Mobile Suit Gundam. We're technically on season 2, which I didn't think there were seasons for this one, I thought it was just one long run.
I also thought it was one long run, I won't lie. They might have broken it up into the English version.
Yeah. One web page said this was season 2, so I'm going with
it. It's entirely possible.
This is America. If the president can make up fake news, I can make up fake news.
If the president can get in his robot underneath the fountain.
All right. It's not... Fuck, I don't want a geriatric white man in a mech fighting. Rambo Rao is the only old white man that I want piloting a mech, and he's like middle age at best and has the fortitude of a 20-year-old man and can go all night.
That was years of training. Let's give him credit.
He's very well conditioned.
Very well conditioned. Yeah, no, because in Japan, this aired just over kind of like the course of a year. I don't know if they took a break.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, like, seasons are, like, Western seasons are, like, even the UK does seasons differently than America. Like, I think Americas are the only one, Americas, and even then on network television it's different again.
Yes.
So, from what I understand, anime isn't generally broken down into seasons quite so much, or you didn't used to be, at least.
For the most part, in Japan, from...
Fuzzy just died a little.
No, I got... My nose got really stuffy, and I'm just like, ugh.
Oh.
Also, I'm looking through real quick at... Oh, wait. Those are the American air dates. Never mind. I was like, Jesus Christ. They were showing episodes back to back to back to back, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's the dub. They were just doing that. That's fine. In Japan, seasons are broken down a little bit differently, and also, generally speaking, anime that come back again, like, after they've had a showing, the next time they come back, they are not greeted as seasons, they're greeted as sequels.
That's why they have different names. That's why we end up with Zeta and...
There is that...
Well, because Zeta is actually a different...
Zeta is actually a different show, but even, like, one of my favorite shows, Yuri... technically had two seasons, but even the second season, they, like, added a line to the OP to, like, kind of make the name sound differently. And then the third season was called Sanhai and shit like that.
It's like Full Metal Alchemist gets a new opening and closing every season.
Yeah. Typically, that does mean that it is airing in a new season. There are four seasons. Well, of course, there are four seasons, but... the anime showing year is broken up right now we're in summer in anime too, but the first is actually winter. It's winter, spring, summer, fall. So the end of the year, even though it's technically winter, from October to December is fall ish. January to April is spring, or excuse me, winter. March to
Fuzzy, real quick, I'm just worried. Have we fallen down a hole of? Have we lost ourselves? What's happened? Where are we at?
Yeah, I just realized we got real deep in that tangent. Holy shit! Yeah, long story short, anime is on a different seasonal structure. God, yeah, wow, holy shit.
Oh no.
God, you ever just wake up naked in a field?
Anyway. Oh
God, where are my pants? I don't know what happened.
Meanwhile,
God,
Xeon soldiers.
Why am I sticky?
Never ask why you're sticky.
That's good life advice. We are not even to the commercial break. So...
No!
Revel just kind of gives it to him straight. Amuro is kind of in disbelief that they're pumping out because of him and his suit. And Revel is just like, yeah, dude, you... He doesn't say it, but I strongly believe he implies it's not just the Gundam, it's Amuro.
It's you.
You...
Yeah, I think... I remember getting that distinct impression that he was like, Amuro, you're the chosen one. You've got to save us. If you leave, we'll all die.
Well, he's looking right at Amuro. Like, he's Supreme Commander, I remind you. He can look at fucking anyone. He doesn't have to look at one lowly pilot.
Supreme Commander is a little intense for the good guys, I think.
They call him Shogun.
Anyways, back at Xeon, the actual fascists.
Yes, the literal fascists.
They're gonna get in their super fighty fish bots.
Yes. I'm just real quick trying to look up what the fucking actual...
Vamp.
Come on.
So these things are called GOGs.
Yes.
You keep looking. I got this. I'm an expert
You're an expert on the GOG. All right. Damn.
I'm a GOG expert. Go ahead. They got like weird. They got these arms, right? They do these swipey things, these motions. I don't remember. I don't think they have ranged weapons.
They definitely
do. Feels weird. They definitely do not.
They do.
They're piloted from the feet, which is strange. I feel like that would get real uncomfortable for the pilot. The backup system is in the cod piece. Which extends about a mile in front of the actual suit itself. It's completely not aerodynamic at all.
It's just a brick, really.
It's literally a brick with a cod piece and legs.
It's a brick with a dick.
It's a dick brick. They have 17 eyes.
Why stop there, really? It kind of just begs the question.
18 was too much of a power drain. Uh-huh. They talked about it earlier in the episode.
Yeah, I must have missed that line.
It's understandable you missed it. Have you found the thing you're looking for? Because this is getting wild.
I gave up a while ago.
Oh, okay. So gods are not what I just said.
I was just letting this go to see what kind of picture we would get painted as I got progressively more horrified. Gogs are not.
So tell me about this
things.
Dick with legs.
The gog looks, in my opinion, like a mole, like the creature.
It's got little mole claws.
Yeah, he's got. It's a brown fat torpedo with shoulder pads, big mole arms that end in big claws, kind of stubby legs. But that's because this thing is made to be an aquatic suit.
Amphibious.
It is a completely amphibious suit. It also has kind of like a belt in the middle, breaking up its top and lower half, and that belt, which proportionally I would put as like a boxing size
girdle.
Belt.
It's a fucking girdle.
Or girdle.
It's a girdle of giant strength.
I don't know enough about girdles to place a girdle automatically. I don't even know what the definition of a girdle is.
It's a girdle. That's a girdle. The thing a gog has is a girdle.
You're a girdle.
It's a goggle. I'm not a girdle.
A girdle is just a belt or cord worn around the waist. It is synonymous with belt, sash, cummerbund, waistband, strap.
All right, well,
band,
a cummerbund is not a goddamn belt.
Girth and
fuzzy.
Cord.
Don't talk to me about girth.
I will.
Don't come into my house with fucking girth conversation.
I will discuss. Why does this woman's girdle have ass out? I went to Images and was greeted with some interesting ones.
Focus, Fuzzy. We are almost an hour into this shit.
This woman has her ass out of this. Everything else isn't.
That's not a girdle. I don't know what this is. Also, she's got a nice butt, so whatever.
A lot. Everything that's coming up when I searched girdle looked like that. Anyway.
That's very strange. Internet, get your shit together. You're drunk.
Please. So, the Zeon soldiers decide to launch a couple of gogs to just take out the Trojan horse, because fuck them. Back on White Base, or towards White Base, the spy girl from earlier is waiting outside the base, and Kai comes out, and she's like, hey, you should buy something. And he acts himself.
Dick.
He is a dick.
Here's the thing. I actually got really surprised, because I expected him to hit on her. Because he's Kai.
He kind of does in the Japanese, but what does he say in the English?
I don't remember the exact words, but he's just like, all this stuff looks cheap and I don't want it, and then walks away.
In the Japanese...
So unless he's negging her.
In the Japanese, he does that, then puts his head back in frame and goes, you're real cute, though. And she goes, then you should buy something. And he goes, nah, and walks off.
Okay, never mind.
Which, honestly... Fucking power move, though. Just like, you're cute, then you should buy something. Absolutely not, that shit's cheap. Bye. Like, you know? Alright, firm.
Nah, I refuse to get behind Kai on anything.
Fair.
Especially his negging of women.
At the very least, in this case of her products.
Right, good point. And to be fair, this is like a conglomeration of bullshit she found to get her super excuse.
Yes. She also, in the Japanese, was like, they're all locally made. And he's like, they look like shit.
Yeah, it's locally
made. I'm just like, Jesus, Kai, what the fuck?
He's harsh.
Like, we know she's evil, you don't. You're just being rude.
Amuro also says no thanks. I think she doesn't get to try to seduce Frau because Frau's busy chasing children, right?
She chases the children out, yes, and they run off, yeah. But then Frau and Amuro have a brief conversation. Also, to me, I read the situation as, like, he was about to say more to the girl, but, like...
Frau got jealous?
He looked back at Frau immediately, and also, like, had a weird look on his face that makes me think that, just like you, he saw another red-headed woman in his life and had flashbacks. yeah.
Is this the point where the kids are like, we've got to fight Zeon? Like, the kids are getting weirdly patriotic?
Yeah, they're getting real weirdly patriotic. And talking to Kai, and Kai's just like, y'all are fucking idiots.
All right, never mind. I'm back on Kai's team.
Yeah. Amuro and Frau also begin discussing if it's really a good idea to join the military at this stage, especially because who would care for these kids? Meanwhile... The Gogs realize they are entering a minefield and deploy countermeasures, which is called Freeze Gel, and it looks like a bunch of red tentacles that just kind of catch the mine somehow.
Yeah, it's real gross.
Yes. It looks disgusting.
Basically, they hentai the fuck out of these mines.
They tentacle fuck the mines. It all loops back around! Yeah. So... The Zeon subs proceed to fire missiles to cover the Gog's approach, and the base goes on high alert, but they're aiming at the wrong spot. Bright learns that the only suit that right now he has on deck is the Gundam. The gun tank is currently in pieces, and the gun cannon is just not mentioned.
I get the impression that it's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
Or they hadn't, they're just about to start on it or something.
Something like that, yeah. Frau is relaying these orders to Amuro, and she says something, I forget what, that Amuro immediately goes, you're starting to sound like Sailor, man. I don't like it. And Frau is just like, ah, shit, my bad.
But that's a, hold on, have I missed something? Do we not like Sailor anymore?
I don't know. I think it's just because, I think it's just because she was being really curt. And, like, efficient because she's the radio operator.
She's doing
operator.
Your goddamn job. Yeah.
And I think Amuro's just being a bitch, but...
You know what? Yeah, I guess it would be kind of weird for Amuro, because Amuro is like, that's my friend issuing orders to me.
Yeah.
My childhood friend who has a crush on me.
Who obviously has a crush on me, but I'm a big fucking Nimrod.
Yeah, just a fucking idiot.
Just the biggest, dumbest idiot.
Look, like, Frau's just a good kid. I don't...
Yeah.
Like, you should be so lucky, Amuro.
Yeah.
Anyways. Shut up!
Well, hold on. I want to describe this, because the Gogs arrive, and honest to God, this is a really cool scene of the Gog fucking reaching its hand out and clawing into the dirt and climbing out of the water as it all drips off and the sun is behind it and its eye comes on and gives the bwah. It's so fucking cool. Just like... That is, before, I forgot about this scene, and like, for a minute, I was like, Gog kind of looks silly, and it didn't really do much, but then this happened, and I'm like, the Gog is the coolest suit to ever be created, and it's hype as shit. And then we cut to commercial.
Okay, so, we don't have any new iTunes reviews.
Get on it, motherfuckers.
What the fuck? But until we do, I'm gonna hold these middle sections hostage.
Okay.
With plugs
for your other products.
So and yours. So if we don't get a review, y'all gotta listen to me fucking promote my shit. So first off, Fuzzy and I have other podcasts. You probably all have all at least listened to Grimdorks, if not came here from Grimdorks.
likely.
But Fuzzy has another bigger, better, more dicks podcast. There's a lot more angry zealot penis.
There is a considerably higher percentage of fascist penis, yes. I don't think mass, because I don't think any amount of mass can, no matter how many humans, male or female, are in the galaxy, I don't think they can overtake the sheer size and girth and weight and mass of Degwin Zabi's monster fascist dong.
Right. But the format of that show is, well, I would say it's actually not basically this one, because you don't have episodes and shit. But there are two Fuzzies. One of them is named John. and one Chris named Brayden.
We explain Warhammer to him.
Yeah, and they do it basically on overarching concepts within the Warhammer universe.
Yes.
We did one on Eldar.
At some point, we're going to draft you into a crossover episode, because there are mechs in Warhammer.
Which means I've just got to be double Chris, because I don't know fucking shit about mechs, and I don't know fucking shit about Warhammer. So now I'm on a podcast about Warhammer mechs, and I'm not know what the fuck is going on. And I don't even have a goddamn episode to watch to brief myself on.
It's so too Chris, like, too furious.
Anyways, you should check it out. It's really good. Our friend Matt Lee did the theme music for it.
It kicks ass.
It does. I think you're editing it now, right?
I am editing it, which, honestly, if this episode comes out before I get out the next episode of Grimdorks, I apologize.
So this episode is out this Friday, so...
Oh, yeah, I double apologize if that's the case. I'm two weeks behind.
So, yeah. Is there anything else we need to talk about with Grimdorks?
No, that's everything. Why don't you mention... why don't you talk about Cerebros? Then we'll go back to it.
I've actually got two things, motherfucker. No, so we've got Cerebros. Cerebros is my mistress podcast. This is Fuzzy's mistress podcast. I'm his other lady.
Yes.
And then my other lady is Cerebros. Cerebros is a podcast I do with my best friend, Livy.
I see how it is, motherfucker.
I love you to death, Fuzzy. If it helps, I've hugged you way more times than I've hugged Libby.
That is zero, an ocean's fault, UK. Not either, yeah, not any of ours.
It's basically this, except, well, I'm still the Chris, but Livy's the Fuzzy, because she knows everything about X-Men and shit. And we're watching, we're doing a rewatch of the early 2000s X-Men Evolution cartoon, and it's really good, and you should check that out.
Clearly that crossover episode should be us critiquing the designs of Sentinels. Continue.
Okay. Another thing, I've just released, Livy and I, our first RPG for sale on DriveThruRPG. It's about witch scouts. I understand that witches are not mechs or giant robots in the slightest.
That is queer talk, for the record.
I contain multitudes, and I can like cute things and giant robots and giant cute robots. Anyways, it's a cute game. It's powered by the apocalypse. If any of you are interested at all in PPTA games, it's very rules light. It's stripped down. It's cute. Just look for Witch Scouts on DriveThruRPG, and let us know what you think.
I will admit to myself not having read it yet, but a lot of people whose opinions I do value have and say good things. So,
that's sweet.
That's my stamp on that.
I'm honestly annoyed you didn't help us playtest it, Fuzzy.
You were doing that in a rough time in my life.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I take it back. I forgot what time frame that was. I apologize.
Listen here, you punk ass.
No, shut up!
So we come back to tanks attempting to sortie. And getting blown the fuck away by the Gogs, because their girdle has a lot of big explosive things. I'm pausing because I need to send an important text.
Oh. Gog's one arm is bigger than the other because they're fiddler crabs?
Because they keep jerking it. Yeah. So the Gog, its girdle is actually a missile belt, which functions kind of like a shotgun from what I can tell.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's the thing, it's like, you're like, oh wait, maybe the Gogs are actually good when they looked cool coming out of the water. When they fired a shotgun out of their waist, I was like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah, they kind of just pelvic thrust death in front of them.
Yeah!
So,
yeah.
These Gogs keep getting hit by tanks, and they don't give a fuck because they have some really thick armor. Amuro jumps out with the Gundam, with the hammer in hand, too. Which I remind you is a flail, not a hammer.
Yep. Fuzzy. So they've got this flail they call a hammer. Do you think they're ever going to upgrade that thing? Maybe like strap some rockets on.
Well, I'm glad you asked because that's literally what they do this episode. They put rockets on the back of the hammer so that when you throw the hammer, we play the exact same bit of reusable animation of it flying through the air and turning on its jets to go a little bit faster. That happens every single time in this episode alone, thrice. It's the same piece of animation. Jesus fuck.
I fucking love the concept of, hey, this melee weapon needs an upgrade. Let's put rocket boosters on it. I want to shake that engineer's hand.
Yeah, for real.
You are my hero.
Personal
nameless
hero,
faceless engineer.
So, Amuro proceeds to throw the hammer, naturally. Still holding the other end, he doesn't just chuck it.
Yeah,
he also happens to have paid attention and identifies the Gog correctly, so clearly that brief was actually pretty good.
Also, it shows that Amuro is a fucking, like,
he pay attention and he's smart because he's gonna fight those.
Just flashback to the fact that he's a fucking, he's a whiz engineer. Like, in case you forgot, fucker's a genius. Because the thing just flashed on there for a few moments, and he memorized, like, its specs and the fact that it had.
I interpreted the briefing going on a little bit longer.
Oh, okay, well, fine.
I'm not giving him that much credit.
Yeah, fuck him.
Exactly.
Let's go on. Idiot.
Big, dumb, idiot butthead.
Big,
so,
dumb, fucking crybaby.
Yes, so Reville, meanwhile, is watching all of this from a fucking window, and when people are like, you should get to the shelter, he's just like, if those guys get in, I'm dead anyway, so I'm just gonna keep watching this from here so I can call people faster.
Yeah, I guess. I still think it's kind of dumb, because, like, yeah, if they get in, then you're dead either way. But where you're at, you could get fucking waylaid by shrapnel.
Yes.
Or the.
Which
the
he literally dodges 2 seconds later. Honestly, I think Reville is just he may not have Degwin Zabi's monster dong, but I think he does. He knows exactly how long his dong is and is very comfortable with it and knows how to use it. Because, as we all know, it's not the size of the boat.
No. It's the motion of the
robot ocean
underwater tentacle mind slayers.
Yes, that.
What?
I just had the worst porn pop into my head. I hate that, and I will not even describe it. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, he also laments that the mobile suits are becoming such a major part of war. Which I actually I vaguely recall this, but I seem to recall an actual World War II general lamenting that foot soldiers were kind of going the way of the dodo because all these big fucking tanks are so useful. I seem to recall this as, like, an actual thing that happened. I don't know who, I'm not sure, I can't verify that, but I seem to recall that tidbit. So, fun little callback to the actual events of World War II, which this show is loosely based on, in case you forgot.
Right. In case you forgot the thing we mentioned literally every episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Sayla is being briefed about a new G-Armor format called the G-Bull, which is the G-Fighter as a tank, and worse.
Yep.
So...
it's not good.
No, it's terrible. So...
moving on.
Hayato manages to reassemble the gun tank, and he gets out there. Amuro is, for some reason, using the Vulcan that we know does not work against the GOG. He keeps using
it... The Vulcan doesn't work against any armor.
Literally not.
I looked it up. The Vulcan is anti-personnel and, in a pinch, anti-aircraft. Why does he... I understand using it as a distraction, because it is distracting, like these these bullets pinging off of your armor in close combat. But he's not using it in close combat. He's just shooting his head guns at them.
Yep. No one knows.
Because he's... I think he's... what is it? He's out of it. Why can't he use the beam rifle? Is it because he's out of ammo? Or
I forget. Broken? I think it's broken. I honestly forget. So, yeah. Amuro proceeds to throw the hammer once, and it hits and connects hard.
Rocket hammer.
Before he does it again, and the GOG just catches it.
Yeah.
Proceeds to yank it and then yeet it.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, he eats it. No, I said yeet. Chris, this bitch empty.
I don't understand your youth parlance.
I'm gonna fucking... you're on Twitter as much as me.
I legit only know the word yeet because you keep saying it. I just assume it's an affirmative. Fuzzy, I am 30 years old.
Chris, my mother knows yeet, and she is 50.
Yeah, your mother is a very cool woman.
Got me there. So, the GOG throws that bitch away, and the spy is watching. We don't have a name for her, by the way. Like, she has a code name that I immediately forgot. She's like 107. Yeah. Like, it's a number. I forget her name. She continues to watch from town, and Kai almost accidentally runs her over in the tank thing he's driving. And he's like, get the hell out of here. And then he kind of has a look on his face, which it's the same look he gets whenever he gets a bad feeling. Because Kai is the one who gets bad feelings. Kai and Job.
Because he's totally... because everyone's fucking psychic.
Kai just has a good gut. Kai and John Job approach one of the GOGs and fire a missile barrage. And Amuro just fucking... jumps away and does a backflip to the other side of town, and I'm not even kidding. He literally jumps to, like, the other side of town in a single backflip. To then convert into the G-Bull. The missile barrage does fuck all. Amuro converts to the G-Bull. It looks like ass. Sayla and him go out.
It's not good.
The GOG fails to kill them twice before attempting a headbutt dive.
Which is the best.
Yes, Amuro responds by reflex parrying and shooting him through the entire fucking length of the GOG.
It is also the best. Like, I'm realizing, like, when I watched this episode, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a fun one to talk about, or whatever. Or I knew it would be. There are interesting bits. But I was like, oh, this is kind of a whatever episode. Talking to you about it now, I'm like, this is a good episode.
Yeah, right?
A lot of cool shit happens.
A lot of really cool shit happens. This is also the first aquatic suit we see. This is...
also, spoiler alert. I got excited because Char doesn't get in one of these dumb aquatic suits.
Yes, Char is not in one of the suits. In fact, Char shows up at the beginning and then does not again until the end, and we'll see why.
Yeah.
So, Amuro...
team turns with class, motherfucker.
Yeah. So, Amuro and Sayla retreat back to White Base, and the White Base control tower fellows realize that the missiles stopped when the second GOG jumped in the water, because he ollied the fuck out immediately. Yeah. Amuro puts the Gundam back together correctly, and Sayla gets the fuck out of there in the G-Fighter. The Gundam lands, refueled and such, and dives underwater.
Because apparently Gundam is also amphibious.
If it will survive space, I think it'll survive a bay.
Yeah, but, like, it's not gonna swim.
No, it does not. He sinks immediately. So, he proceeds... yeah. to duel a significantly more mobile Gog. The Gog is fucking zipping around and manages to, like, come by, pull out a hand, and fucking claw into the Gundam's head. Mm-hmm. And, like, is just holding on, fucking throws him, and then loops around and rams him. The Gog rams the Gundam. Carries him a while, and then grabs onto his head again. Amuro responds by, like, he's getting grabbed hand over the head, pulling from, like, the chin upwards from behind.
Yeah.
Amuro twists the Gundam around and manages to get his beam saber back out and stabs the Gog right through the fucking eye before switching to the backup and cleaving that bitch in twain. And it is
so
one of the coolest fucking sequences I have ever seen.
Yeah, in case anybody had forgotten at this point, Amuro's hard as fuck when it comes to actually fighting.
Yeah, if you corner Amuro, he will kill you.
So let's recap. One of them he shot directly through the entire center of the thing midair, and out its asshole.
Yep.
The second one he stabbed through the eye and then bisected.
Yes.
Like, underwater.
Underwater.
Where it was supposed to be more effective.
Yeah. So the Gog explodes, and everyone outside isn't sure who won. Frog frantically is trying to call Amuro to respond. Revil, who is watching through some binoculars, is like, he won. They might both be dead, but at the very least, the enemy is definitely dead. Amuro manages... We see, like, this... I call it, like, a Bugs Bunny mound, but it's Amuro's wake in the water from underwater.
Yeah. Surface tension as he's getting close.
Yes. Sayla manages to relay a call just before the Gundam peaks, and the whole crew celebrates. Revel is like, hell yeah, boy did it. Gundam just strides out of the water and walks back to the bay and gets out in a scene that is very appropriate for the first episode of the second season, being that it's almost a one-to-one of Gundam Rising. It's actually the same shot composition as the Gundam standing the first time. Which, fucking great callback. I love that shit.
Yeah, especially now, like, knowing this is the halfway point.
And, yeah.
Like, this is all intentional.
Yeah. That's
pretty dope.
Chef kiss.
Tomino.
Yeah.
You're good.
Thank you, Tomino. Meanwhile, Char comes back to the Mad Angler with a lot of pictures from his recon, because the entire time this fight was happening, he was a mile away reconning, because Char is smart. Char tells this soldier, Boone, who was in command while he was gone, that he will not rest until he defeats the Gundam. Gundam? Until he defeats the Gundam. We end the episode with him staring at this readout of information and slowly turning to Boone, saying, "It may seem childish, but that suit injured my pride." And,
back to toxic masculinity of the cartoon.
Yeah, right. They then put, like, the weird, angry background behind him and turn Char just red, and we slowly fade out. Want to do any...
Next time.
Yeah, next time. White Base keeps getting attacked. Kai ollies out, but comes back, because these previews are fucking spoilerific as hell. A spy is shown boarding White Base, maybe. Next episode. A spy on board. I wonder where the spy went. Fun fact, also, in Japanese, the episode title is literally Onna Supai Senyu, which means Lady Spy Infiltrates, in that order. Like, they don't even have a word for spy. It's just supai. Which is funny to me.
Yep.
Will you be able to survive?
Amuro.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 26 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole, and really want to give it a try, like I said in the episode, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free, including the currently airing Build Divers. Until next time, mech fans, remember, aquatic suits are good, huggable boys.